Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. We're going to be talking about Magic the Gathering and Spore returning. But first, my name is Christian.
I'm Bobby.
My only choice of alcohol was alcoholic waters or whatever they're called. Seltzers.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be peeing a lot. Just a warning there. If suddenly the show has dips and valleys, those are both bad. Peaks and valleys. The peaks is going to be when I'm here and the valleys is going to be when I'm not.
Okay.
All right.
You have that to look forward to. You know, I used to play a noise when you went pee, like a running sound from Roadrunner. I feel like I should bring that
back.
Oh,
yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was like one episode or two, but it was good.
It was good. Yeah.
Bobby, I thought it was the Utini sound effect.
Oh, and then I did the Utini. Oh, there's so many pee sound effects. Yeah, we got to choose one and stick with it.
Got to cue those up. All right. Well, before we get into the show, just a quick shout out to a new patron, Abe. Now, I believe this is the same Abe that might have friended me on Steam and on Discord this week. So, welcome aboard, man. Glad to have you.
He can buy you love, dude.
And it's not cheap.
Yeah, because on Discord and Steam, I turn down a lot more people than I accept. First thing I check is how old is their account on Steam? What level are they on Steam?
Right. We only take 45 plus in this podcast, right? Or
yeah.
I do a bit of a background check. So when you friend me on there, I'll see, do we have any mutual servers in common on Discord? And then if it's on Steam, are you part of the Steam group or do we have any mutual friends? You know, but he passed the test, so he's in.
Are you an adult friend finder?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Also, we wanted to talk about the curator page on our Steam page. We're going to be giving that some attention. So the curator page is where we write little short paragraphs about games that we like. So you can go there and check out, like, if you're interested in, like, what are some really good recommendations that we have? We always recommend games on the podcast, obviously, but if you want to just get kind of a backlog of games that we've really liked, the curator page is the place to see it. And we're going to be adding more games to that. We haven't really done much with it in a while. And I feel like the Steam curator page hasn't really, people view that stuff a lot, but it's not a huge talking point on Steam. Like it used to be or once was, but it's a good place just to kind of see what the people you like to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you do click on a game and you scroll down a little bit, first you'll see curators that you follow and what they think of it. But then if you don't follow any curators, they will show you just two random curators. We want the randomness. That's our slot right there. We want to be this creepy guy that has an opinion.
Yeah. Who are these people? Yeah, and these are the best of the best games too, right? These are the ones that we kind of love or have put a lot of time into, and like there's not just anything on that list, right? These are like the best of the best.
Yeah. Hey, want to do a podcast?
Let's do a podcast, guys. On this podcast we ping things, and I want to ping that Joel is the Helldivers 2 game master. So this news came out last week. Did you guys hear about this Dungeon and Dragon bullshit that the Helldivers 2 thing is 2 game is doing?
No idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so Helldivers 2, you know, not only did they change it from Helldivers 1 from a top-down to a first-person perspective, everyone is playing it having a blast, but all the Helldivers are on a shared server universe, and every mission that they do pushes ahead attrition on a planet, right? So if the whole community gets together and they're like, we're targeting this planet, we gotta fight the mechanoids or whatever they're called, the mech guys, then if people all really do that, that planet will be liberated. But what the Helldivers 2 developer has said is that they have a person whose job is to watch what the community does and kind of Dungeon and Dragons it, you know? They're pushing really hard on the planet. Okay, now on the other side of the galaxy, there's going to be a huge invasion that people have to respond to. Or they push really hard on a planet, they do a super good job, maybe for a week they get a free item, all Helldivers get a free item that helps them. So it's a little bit more of a curated experience. And when they were talking about this, they also said that they have story points that they're releasing. No DLC. This is just part of the base game. I think it's $40 right now. As players move past all these planets, they're going to face different situations that are going to become story beats in the game. And they're all kind of doing it at the same time and together. So I think basically Helldivers 2 are we spoiled by this game? It didn't have to go this hard. It didn't have to do this, you know? Like, this could have just been like any wave survival game in the whole fucking world where you get four people together and you destroy bugs. But they have this story level on top of it. That's super enticing to me. I think I like that idea.
It sounds like what you think is the difference between a worthy game and something that's holier than now is a guy named Joel. Is this correct?
Yes. All it takes is one Joel. Yeah.
No, it's a really good idea because, like if you're playing chess and a million people were voting on moving one piece and then the other player was just one person, who would do better? Probably the one person, you know? And that's cool. And then he's probably doing it whatever's narratively going to be better.
Yes.
Not just what's best for Joel.
Yeah. Although I do like to think Joel has his own motives and motive. Like, you know, who is Joel? Where does he...
Yeah, right.
What gets him going?
Become corrupted by the power.
Yeah. He shuts Helldivers 2 down. Yeah. Anyways, that's my ping. What about you, Bobby?
So I wanted to make a correction from last week. We talked a lot about the Borderlands movie that's going to be coming out. Now, Eli Roth is listed as the director for the movie, officially given credit. But it turns out that he stepped away from that movie to work on something else, and they brought somebody else in for reshoots. So I don't know. In a way, that kind of makes a little more sense because it doesn't really seem like one of his movies or typical of his style. But... yeah. And then, of course, since we've talked about it, the internet has continued to complain about it a little bit, specifically around the casting of the movie, which I don't know. I don't have too much of a problem with, but I do kind of understand some of their specific complaints. Like, when you cast people that old, it's going to be hard to make a sequel or an expanded universe and continue to use these people, but I don't know, or use these actors, but I don't know if they're even really going to do that. Like, do you see Borderlands becoming like, not Marvel, but you know, like five movies coming out every couple of years?
Not based on this. Yeah.
Well, I guess it really doesn't matter. The movie's going to do fine overseas, right? But it'll make all...
Is it?
Oh yeah, these ones always do because of the IP. Everyone's going to recognize the video game and they don't care. You get far away from the US or North America and people just are not, they're not even aware of like what people are saying on the internet or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Yeah.
I'm going to get really high and go to the movie theater and watch it. I hate getting high and watching movies because I never remember them, but this is one probably doesn't really matter, you know?
It's going to be fun and forgetful, I think.
And, you know, did you realize that the planet is Pandora, right? And the first Borderlands came out in 2009, which was a year after Avatar. And I remember that when the game came out, I was just like, wow, they just totally called their planet Pandora, just like Avatar. It seems so strange to me, but over the years, I've totally forgotten that.
And is it a shared universe?
Maybe. The Na'vi there?
Yeah, 50 million years in the future or something.
Yeah, it would have to be way in the future because, one is desolate and the other one's jungle.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got.
Final Fantasy Rebirth. I told myself I was not going to be playing this, even though I really enjoyed Remake. But it's sitting at 92% on Metacritic. When I say we, I see PC gamers, won't be seeing it. Nothing officially been saying, but I read that maybe this summer we'll be seeing the release. And usually we get a better version, which is great. You know, because they fix whatever problems there are. Plus, the extra computing power gives them a little more leeway to do extra stuff. So I'm here to say I'll probably be picking this up for $10.99 in 2028.
Nice. Put it on the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Those are all our pings for this episode. Now we're moving over to highlights. So these are the games that we have been playing. And as promised, I am back with Spore. So, you know, right off the bat, I didn't make it to the universe phase. Kind of had a busy week. Didn't have a lot of time to Spore boot. But I made it to the civilization phase. And I'm doing colonialism against my own species, which I was kind of, it's fine. I guess it makes sense. Like, we're the only humans on this planet, even though there was, like, Neanderthals and all the rest of them. But I was kind of hoping that because I allied some species in the previous phase, maybe they would be present in some fashion on the civilization phase. But I looked all over the map, and I couldn't find... they have, like, animal spawns on the map, too, if you zoom in. Nothing I recognize there. So that was kind of a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, not being connected to the EA Spore servers is, you're missing, I don't know what percentage I gave it last episode, but you're missing a big part of the game, because all you're seeing is Max's created content.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. I have tanks and artillery, so there's these sounds that play when you're at war, like air raid sirens from World War II, and then the sounds of bombs dropping in the distance. For the whole 3 hours that I'm on this phase, that's the only noise I hear. You know, I'm at war the whole time, because the only species, intelligent species on the planet, is my species, and we are terrible and warlike, and everyone's at war with each other, no one's trading. There's all these buildings that I see lead down the peaceful path. They're all grayed out for me. I can't even explore what that would look like, you know? So it's just all fighting all the time, which is great. Some of my enemies have giant holograms that spit propaganda at my cities saying how bad my people are. I thought that was kind of funny. Also, they're cowards. And overall, I think the city or modern age is the least fun at the moment, because it's just a really, really simple RTS. And the computer are micro masters, and really, I'm pressing three buttons here. I'm training new units, I'm building houses, and I'm clicking attack on enemy units that come out. You know, it's almost too simple. So if this game ever got remade, I would love for this part of it to receive kind of the most attention, because I just kind of get the feeling that maybe it was the most overlooked or maybe most difficult part. It doesn't have a lot of the cool things of the previous phases going for it, and that nothing else in my playthrough has carried over to this phase, but in every previous phase, things have carried through prior to this one. Just felt a little strange.
Are you going to do the mods?
Dude, I don't know. Yeah, I probably should do the mods, but first I want to get to the universe phase on the vanilla playthrough, and then maybe I'll fuck around with some mods. But yeah, that is my Spore report. Christian Spore corner.
Glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Bobby, I am dying to know what you think of Magic.
I feel so.
I have personally, like, kind of wished always that you were going to just start playing. So I'm curious where you're at with it.
All right. Well, first of all, I feel so bad for our listeners this week. It's like a revisiting Spore and Magic the Gathering. That's what you're getting this week. I'm so sorry, guys. But I'm offering a fresh take here, because I played Magic the Gathering the first time in 2020 during the second DLG con. So this is all very new to me. And for starters, I'm all in on Lorcana. Like, I don't think I'm going to be getting that into Magic the Gathering because I'm a lot more invested in Lorcana. But I did want to check out Magic the Gathering Arena, so the digital version that's on Steam. And every time I play one of these card games online, I always think, I always think Hearthstone did it better, just in the digital version. That was really my first online TCG, like a video game TCG, not like in person with the actual physical cards. And just everything about the gameplay is just so fluid. The UI, like when you open the packs, you click on each card and they spin around. So it builds that excitement. Like they just did everything right there, which Blizzard often does. Every time I played an MMO, I'm just like, nah, it's not WoW and I can't get into it. So it doesn't surprise me that the same thing happens with Hearthstone. That being said, they've done an outstanding job with it. Like it still is really good. They do a specifically good job of like the tutorial, I think, in easing you into the game.
Yeah, it's the best way to learn magic ever devised. And one other thing I will say about Hearthstone. Yes, I mean, Blizzard already, they always have the best UIs. They always have, you know, their bells and whistles are always great. But I will say that their cards were never bound by physicality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you could do things on Hearthstone day one that you could never do in something that's also tied to paper.
Yeah, in a physical card game.
Yep.
Yeah, they had that advantage. But even little things like how you click and drag cards and perform actions, I just felt like were so well done in Hearthstone. In Magic, I feel like it's a little clunky. But I'm still enjoying it. So I never learned Magic for the longest time because somewhere along the lines, I got into my head that Magic was really difficult. And now that I've actually played a lot more TCGs, I realized the one that I played back in the 90s, the Star Wars CCG, that is way more complicated and difficult than any TCG I've ever played before. Magic is, I think, a better designed game. I also realized that Star Wars one was, as much as I love it, it's just, it's too complicated. The games take too long. There's too many cards. There's just, it's so confusing. I mean, if I could show you a screenshot of it and just explain like what everything was, it would just make your head spin. Even the character cards, they just have so many different things on it. And that's what I love about Lorcana. It's just very simple and straightforward. But the problem with Lorcana is it's just so new. You know, they have three sets out now. There's like, I mean, it's shaken up the meta a little bit, but there's really just only so many options with competitive decks and not too many mechanics. It's just, you know, it's very small, but that'll get better over time.
Dude, a quick interjection on Lorcana. I was walking, I go to this board game store that's in kind of this hipster neighborhood. And I was walking and I saw someone had put all these posters up on all like this light posts towards the store about a Lorcana Calgary group that they want to do like competitive tournaments and they have a cash prize, which took me aback. I was like, what? It's in my hometown, you know?
We're coming. We're coming.
Chris, are you going to... I know you were somewhat interested, and the two starter decks together is not pricey.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? The starter decks are affordable. They're $16.99, but if you go to a local game store, they probably mark it up a few bucks, but you can find them online, like tcgeplayer.com. You can find them pretty cheap.
I'm going to wait for my sister and brother-in-law's next birthday coming up. You know, try to bundle two Goodwill things at once. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to learn how to play, man, let me know. We'll jump on Pixelborn, and it's a good time, man. The games they're quick. They feel a lot more random, too. So I don't know if Magic is like this, but because the games are so quick, like you could just get bad draws and like, you lose that round. Like it's over in like 10, 15 minutes, but...
That's why conceding is so big. And also, once you've been playing for fucking 20 years, you know, oh, okay, the control deck now has control. Why am I going to just sit
here? You know where it's going. But
you know where it's going.
It's so funny. I've been watching streams. They just had a big tournament with Lorcana today and yesterday, actually, and with a new set. And I've been watching a lot of this, and the vocabulary... It is not really the same, but they use the same vocabulary from Magic. So as I watch more Lorcana, I'm learning a lot more about Magic the Gathering, like what mill means or wheel or like all these different terms, because they have the exact same thing in Lorcana, but the cards are something different, but the people still call them by their Magic terms.
Ooh.
Right. Cause they, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you gonna do? I'm not gonna say I gotta say Magic's better because it just has 30 years to build on. But I was hugely impressed by Lorcana. They're doing some things that are better than Magic.
Mm-hmm. I like the way really that impressive. They replaced lands with ink. I really like that change to it. Yeah. And yeah, I do feel like they kind of improved a few things and like sped things up. And I think it's going to be a great game, but Magic the Gathering is just ubiquitous. I mean, it's everywhere. Everyone plays it. It's just been around for so long. It's a huge industry. So it's hard to compete with that.
I ordered the Fallout set, all four of them. So it was like almost $200. And Sam's like, what's this? And I'm like, it's an investment is what it is. And so those bitches are going right in sleeves as soon as I should order some sleeves, actually. As soon as I get them. And Bobby, we can play as soon as I get them.
Speaking of you guys playing, at the end of last episode, you guys both said you would play Magic the Gathering in person or Arena Online. Did you guys play together this week? Or
no. So this is what I like about the Magic the Gathering Arena too. There's actually a good amount of single player content there. So they've got this thing called Colors, I think it is, where you can play one color and it just, it's got like five different levels and it really just trains you on playing that color and introduces you as to that color's style. And you can find the ones that you like. And the final step in each one of these is playing a real opponent. So of course I just got trounced when I had to play an actual person. So I'm still learning, but I'm glad there's single player content because it's, playing TCGs is super intimidating when you go up against somebody who's just got like, you know, $500 deck, double sleeved, like just totally sweaty. And they're just like, you know, it's tough, man. And that's the thing I like about Lorcana too. It's so simple and it's Disney. So nobody's that sweaty about it. And it's hard to like get upset or get angry when the cards are just like Disney songs and Disney characters. It all just seems so like not important.
But
like,
people are going to get sweaty and angry on it. And they're going to be like, oh my God, you played whatever. I can't even think of one Disney song right now.
So during the tournament, I'm watching this streamer and I really like this guy and he gives great commentary and explains what he's doing. And he doesn't use profanity either. And I didn't notice that until I switched over to another streamer and he's swearing. And I'm just like, this is a Disney game. You can't say that.
Watch yourself.
Yeah, man. It's just, I don't know. It just seems like it's for kids, but it's fun and it's actually got a lot of depth and complexity to it that makes it enjoyable.
Question, Bobby, how many colors have you gone through or just one?
White. I've finished white and I've started on blue.
So white's kind of like a paladin.
I really like white. Yeah.
Yeah. I figured. Yeah. I think you're going to like it. And blue's kind of like a mage. I figure you're just going to put it like one person, but I'm glad that you're enjoying it. Each color, I think you have 10 match, like 9 fake matches and one real match or something like that.
Not so that many, like, but the last one's a real match, but I think there's like 5 fake ones.
5. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's still 25 games that you play.
Yeah, it's good experience. And I was worried there was going to be no single player content and I'm just going to have to go right into playing people and that wouldn't be enjoyable and it would turn me off to the whole thing after the tutorial, but that was not the case. So I was glad to see that.
Yeah. And then mixing colors. That's a whole other thing, man. That's fucking where it gets really...
Can you mix more than 2 colors in Magic?
Yeah. You can play 5. I've got a sliver deck that plays 5 colors. Hmm. All right, cool. I was going to play. It's funny. I had nothing to do with Bobby's thing. I was just going to say, I've been playing Explorer, which is the last 10 years of cards. It's give or take some years. And so the amount of cards you can take, use legally is huge. So many cards. And not only has it freed me up to use more cards, but I always felt when I was playing Standard, it was more expensive. And it was, you know, you always have to like keep up with each set. You know, a new set comes out, buy a bunch of packs, blah, 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 keep up. And I never wanted to buy rares that were about to be cycled out. 'Cause you know, they're not going to be good in a little while. So why am I going to spend one of my wild cards for this rare that's going to be good for 2 months? But now that I'm playing Explorer, I'm getting the same fun out of it. I'm seeing more decks out of it, like enemy decks. And I don't care about spending money on rares I'm not spending any money. I had like a wealth of currency from last time I played. Now I don't mind buying a rare because I'm going to use it for the foreseeable future. And even if I don't, whatever, I'm having a hell of a time with this one deck that I'm playing. So anyway, Explorer is where it's at for me. It's a hell of a lot cheaper and more fun in different ways. Yeah.
Cool. That was Spore and Magic the Gathering, you know, two cutting edge games that just came out.
Magic the Gathering, AAA. The Arena.
Magic the Gathering, the Arena. Sorry. You're right. Give us 5 stars on iTunes, folks, for that segment. That was that's good. On the radar. So moving on to On the Radar. These are games that we're excited to play, or maybe something else. Bobby, you have an Age of Something?
Yep. Another Age of Empires game. So Amelia sent messaged this to me, but also somebody posted in Discord a few weeks ago and I meant to bring it up and then I forgot about it. This is Age of Mythology Retold. This
it
is
the, so good,
the long awaited by nobody except me, the long awaited remake of Age of Mythology. So rewind back to like, I don't know, early 2000s or something when Age of Mythology came out. I loved this game. I mean, Age of Empires 2 was like my favorite game back in the day. Absolutely loved it. Kind of passed on 3 because at that time I got into Warcraft 3 and discovered hero units and like the fast-paced games that were over in like, you know, 30, 45 minutes instead of like 4 hours. Like I really started enjoying the quicker play of that. And then Age of Mythology came out, sped up the game, and it introduced hero units and it kind of expanded things for the game because Age of Empires was always trying to be pretty historically accurate. But Age of Mythology just allowed them to have a little fun by using all these mythical creatures that like could enter the battlefield and do just crazy things. So it was a great game, man. I love that game so much.
Hey, there's no, we're crunching numbers and we're pushing troops again. We don't have time for your fantasy creatures. That's what
Well, actually, the Romans didn't have minotaurs.
How did you know what I was going to say, dude, before I even said it? Oh, Bobby, so I haven't actually clicked through the Steam page yet. It looks beautiful. Like, they've really done, at least in these screenshots, you know, and a little bit of the trailer. Like, how hyped are you?
I'm pretty hyped. I'm just a little worried because I haven't played this game in forever and I'm worried it's not going to hold up to my memory of it. Yeah. Because this was like my return to Age of Empires when this game came out. And I actually played a decent amount, an embarrassingly large amount of, I've got a lot of hours logged on Age of Empires Online, which was kind of a mess, but then they're just like, yeah, we'll give the game away for super cheap. But
Age of Empires 4, which you loved, you kind of left it alone.
Huh? Yeah, and you know, Age of Empires 4, like everybody was hyped for that game and they did everything right, in my opinion. But then everybody was just like, oh, okay.
The world
and then something
moved on,
else.
Man.
Yeah, it just didn't really fit in the modern space of gaming. So I don't know, that could happen to this, but these remakes, they always get a lot of attention. The Age of Empires 2 remake, I remember, it brought back the multiplayer, which was really great. And I don't know, a lot of people played that and enjoyed it. I think this one will have about the same amount of success. I mean, to me, it's a little more important, I think, to me than most people, just because of the connection that I have with Age of Mythology, I don't expect it to be like a huge thing. It's being published by Xbox Game Studios, so they have confirmed it's going to be on Game Pass day one.
Nice. Bobby, I can't wait to trounce
you. Retold.
Again, you know?
Yeah. Retold means like it's a HD remake?
Yeah, so it is a remake. Retold is just a clever name they came up with, which I think is actually pretty good. Yeah, Retold.
As good as Reforged? As good as Reforged? You know, they're coming up with all these re-things.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Retold better because it's like a myth. You're retelling it. I think it works a little bit better than Reforged. Yeah.
Skeletor reanimated.
But you know,
yeah, dude. What else do you have over there? That was really good. Come on.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's it for me, man. That's what's on my radar.
Okay, Emilio.
Emilio has Jay and Silent Bob Chronic Blunt Punch. So Kevin Smith is Silent Bob, if you don't know who that is somehow. Kevin Smith inspired 2D side scrolling beat 'em up. A la Double Dragon. I say Double Dragon specifically because it looks like you only get two characters here, Jay and Silent Bob, and supposedly there's a lot of combo moves that you do together, so much so that even if it looked like from very little gameplay here, it did look like if you're playing single player, the other character follows you around so that you can do your super moves. So it's like very, set up for two people. I was just thinking that there's probably a bunch of, I would put a bunch of Easter eggs from all his movies, but who knows? I thought it was a good idea. This developer, which I do not have in front of me, also made Mall Brawl. Jane's Silent Bob Mall Brawl has an 85% with 40 reviews. And somehow, with those kind of numbers, they were like, let's make another one. So here we are. And apparently there's been a bunch of delays and whatever. The hand-drawn art does look very good. But I could see this going either way. I don't know if it's going to be good. Just wanted to mention it for any Kevin Smith fans out there, which I used to be a huge fan, man. I was Modcast all the way. He was one of the early podcasters. I listened to so much. But, you listen to it for a little while and, everything he's going to say pretty much. No slight on him.
I wonder if people have gotten to that point with us.
Probably. They're going to look at this title, they're going to be like, wow, Magic the Gathering again, hey? That's that's one we're used to.
Yeah. I'd like to think that I'm evolving, from like a, I don't know, like a...
Neanderthal perspective?
Yeah, like a suave club-going guy to a homeless person. Like, it's happening. Slowly.
Okay.
And you could watch the demise as it goes.
Oh, nice.
All right. Kingmakers. We said last week that we're going to talk about it. And here we go. So it's a third person shooter, but also has some sort of city building or fort building or castle building in it. And I guess it would make sense depending on. Okay. So the premise of the game is you go back in time with modern weaponry, and you try to change the course of history, win wars with your technology. So I imagine you're on the underdog side, whatever it is, and you just fight for the underdogs. But I guess, I don't know if this is part of the game, but maybe you go back with some knowledge of modern construction and building. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe you change the walls and stuff. Just an idea. I didn't see any of that, but I was just thinking about spitballing here while I'm talking about this. So you could take all kinds of stuff, rifles, machine guns, grenade launchers. And it's funny, I had forgotten that I had this thought. Like, I used to talk to my friends, I'd be like, what could you do with an M16 in the middle, like a Braveheart? It'd be insane what you could do. Obviously, one sword.
I'm just picturing like those cheesy movies where people go back in time to the Middle Ages, what was the one, the Evil Dead one?
Oh yeah.
With his boomstick. Yeah, with my boomstick. Or that one, there was one where Martin Lawrence goes back in time.
I remember watching as a kid. Black Knight was really good. Yeah, Black Knight.
Black Knight, there we go.
You pulled that out of your ass, dude. I could have sat here for 1,000 years. I wouldn't have thought of Black Knight, but I knew of the movie. Anyway, so even an Apache helicopter. So it's crazy. But I remember as a kid thinking about this. And I only remembered that I had that thought when the reviewer that I was reading, not reviewer, but like whoever read the article or wrote the article said, you know, my childhood dream. And I was like, oh, shit, I also had that dream.
I think that's a universal dream among men.
It's weird, right? It's weird that we've all thought of it. Yeah. I don't want to be sexist here, but I don't feel like any girl ever.
What if I took a Barrett 50 cal to the Battle of Thermopylae? Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, dude. I don't think it's high on their agenda, man.
Yeah. Probably not.
So, and the Back to the Future reference. So he is driving a camo pickup full speed. Or sorry, 87.6 or whatever it is. Bobby, how many miles an hour?
88
miles an hour. And then the lightning comes and he disappears from the parking lot and he appears in the middle of this crazy war between people. And he's just running people over, man. It's fucking, what a great way to introduce the concept. Because there's a car driving through nights. What are we talking about
it's
here?
So crazy.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad that they made this. I
where's he going to fill up in the Middle Ages? Where's he going to get his fucking gasoline, dude? It's over pretty quick.
Doesn't matter, dude.
That thing doesn't get good mileage.
Your kills per gallon. Your kills per gallon are going to be insane, dude.
Huge. Yeah. I always thought I had this thought as a kid too. And then I thought the instant you shoot the gun, it's going to be louder than any sound that anyone has ever heard.
I thought about this when I was writing this, no one is going to think
you're calling thunder down from the sky or something.
Yeah, dude, like no one is
striking
going to
him dead.
Everyone's gonna run away, you know. It's like I think it'll be fairly easy to change the course of history just with a very loud gun in a medieval fight. That's my take. Wow. I don't think you have to slaughter them all. Like, there's a scene where they're all coming at him with swords and he has like an AK and he's just like rifle. Dude, that would not happen. They would be running the fuck away. They would not be running at you. No way.
Yeah, I think they'd get the message pretty quick. They'd figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, this guy is like some fucking evil magician. Yeah. Yeah. But did you have this thought growing up, Bobby?
I don't know. Maybe when I was like a little kid, but I don't know. I think I've had similar thoughts. Like, what if I took an iPod back and like played some dubstep for Mozart or something, you know?
Dude.
How cool would that be?
He would hate it just like I hate dubstep. Me and Mozart are in the same boat, guaranteed.
Oh, well, everyone hates dubstep now, but rewind 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 15 years ago. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
I don't know. It's been a while since I knew what was cool in music. So I have no idea what I'm talking about. You tell me when dubstep was popular.
Yeah. Growing up, we used to throw raves that had a lot of dubstep in them. So we're part of the problem for sure. Okay, cool. Well, those are the games that we're excited to play or excited to see come out. And now we're on to Guess That Sound. Guys, it's crazy. How many guesses we got? 20? An insane amount of guesses. I don't know. You guys are all so close, but I'm still picking answers at random to keep it fair, okay? So it's not too late, or maybe it is too late. Maybe this week, the person who guessed is going to win $80. You can guess by emailing pixelshitshow@gmail.com. Okay, good. Patrons get two guesses, and this is what you're guessing for. That's it. That's all. It's so distracting when Emilio's moving his mic and I'm trying to talk.
Should have let them guess that sound. What's that sound?
This week, Jamie, you're the lucky guy, dude. And you guessed Garry's Mod Crowbar Attack. And then you messaged me on Discord and you said, hey, did you get my guess? And I said, yes, don't worry. You were the random guess and, you know, it's all good. Jamie, well, first, what do you guys think? Garry's Mod, Crowbar Attack?
Well, it doesn't explain the hissing. I think it's super close.
I don't know. The hissing could be something else, but there's like two sounds. There's a dink, dink.
True.
Yeah. There's a big dink and a little dink.
Interesting. Or,
oh, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, it's not hissing. It's just background noise of craziness of Garry's Mod, probably. Anyway.
I don't know. So it could be that.
Jamie, my friend. Not right, but thank you for your guess, and dare I say, you were very close. So close, in fact, that there's going to be no more hints, because I guess I can spoil it. A lot of you who have sent in a guess have been correct, and it's just a matter of time till I draw your guess. But, you know, now that we're so close, your guesses could be watered down by the sheer amount of our huge listenership sending in emails to pixelshitshow@gmail.com. Next week, the guesser will have a chance to win $85 in the pot, and we'll see.
Why don't we just give it to one of the winners now and save the $5? I guess.
Because there's so many multiple winners that the only way to do it fairly, I think, at this stage is keeping on drawing them randomly.
Whoever went first. Anyway.
I don't know. Just because someone listens to the episode Tuesday at 6 a.m. when it comes out.
Yeah. Yes.
I love how we figure things out on air.
Yeah. That's the best part about this show. That's what you get when you tune in. Okay. No.
Have you guys never listened to the talent arguing with the suit? Christian's clearly the suit.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. I'm the bad guy for sure. Okay. Listener questions, Bobby. What do we got?
We've got quite a few this week. First one from Time Killer B. If you guys were erotic dancers, what song would you go out on stage to?
She's my cherry pie. Da, 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 da.
All right, that's a choice.
I will go out to dubs. That's what I would.
Oh my god. Oh yeah. None of these are good. I'm picturing like you guys say the song, then I picture it in my head and it's just horrifying. I don't know, something from the 80s. Keep it a little, you know,
give us a little riff. Guitar player.
I don't know, maybe like Tarzan Boy or something. That's a good one. Can't go wrong coming out to that song.
No idea what you're talking
about. You guys don't know what Tarzan Boy is? Of course you don't. All right. Cue that one up, Christian. Take a little listen. You'll know what it is.
Okay. Oh, whoa, whoa, have we been cute? Tarzan Boy? Sorry, I'm just reading the lyrics. That's only oh, whoa, whoa.
The lyrics are not important.
Jungle life, I'm far away from nowhere, on my own, like a Tarzan Boy. I could imagine Bobby coming out to this, actually.
I think there was a wrestler that would walk out to that song. Or maybe like a UFC guy. I don't know.
Someone.
I don't know.
Someone important.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm getting the most tips.
All right.
On your cherry pie, dude. Like, what the fuck?
Okay. Well, I guess we'll
that song's about a woman's vagina. I don't know if that's like if you're a male stripper coming out to that. I don't know. It is suggestive and erotic. I mean,
I thought it was just saying that you're.
You just
know,
really like cherry pie, dude.
Yeah.
Just cooling on the windowsill.
Yeah, who doesn't?
The aroma lifting him up off the ground. Okay, next question from Zap. Who would you choose to fuck, marry, or kill out of the other casters and why?
Oh boy, can we go back in time?
Oh my God. So someone has asked us this question before, I believe, and it was even more awkward because it was back when Chi was on the podcast. So it was like, ugh. Okay.
Chi got fucked a lot. Because she's the only female.
Yeah, so.
Or married.
Or married. I don't know. Maybe someone killed her. Who knows? Yeah. So okay. I don't know. This feels like a more appropriate question for our listeners to answer about us.
It does. Way to throw it back to them. But I like that strategy. Yeah. Love it. That's good. But
this is what he does every episode. But this time it worked in our favor, dude.
Throw it back. Guess on our Discord. Say which one of us you would fuck, marry, or kill. And
yeah, put that in a Twitter
and
poll.
Why?
And why? Yeah, that'll be a Twitter poll. Yeah.
An uncomfortably detailed explanation of why. Yeah.
I would marry all of you guys because you're all my good friends.
Aw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's a lie. That was a lie?
Let's just keep it casual for right now. Let's not lock things down. All right. Trying to put a ring on it over here. Jeez.
That's true. It's too serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question from Orconius. Oh, God. I got to put that at the end. That's a, he's got a question for Nick.
We didn't say where Nick next was. Week. Nick's at a relative's house? Yes.
Nick is in what? Dallas?
Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere. He'll be back next week.
He's told us he was riding a real bull, I thought.
Ooh. You know what's funny? And he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
What's funny
bro.
Is, yeah, his back is fragmented as it is. Moving around Texas is like moving around Europe, you know? Like size-wise or like distance-wise.
Yeah.
A lot of it. Yeah.
I mean, it's big, but there's a whole lot of big, nothing dude. Out there.
It's very big. Trust me, Christian. No need to look it up.
Okay. You're right. Why would I ever?
You can, I've looked at a graph and you can fit 9 Europes inside of Texas.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. I always thought it was like 12 and a half, but you know, potato, tomato.
All right. Next question from Tag Loro. Can you each describe a game you've played recently in the style of a pretentious and snobby game reviewer?
Oof. Should have
I think we had a little prepared. Bit of this earlier in the show, right? What was, oh God. I don't know. Somebody was doing that or talking about a game in that way. I don't know. I feel like all of our reviews, or all of mine at least, are pretentious and snobby. So that's just pick any episode, dude. There you go.
Look, he just threw it right back. Threw it back at the old episodes, man. See what he does? Deflect.
Deflect. Hacha, you can't hit this. He's dodging. Yeah. He's dodging Matrix bullets.
Bulletproof handcuffs or whatever. What did Wonder Woman have? Bulletproof Bangalores. Anybody following me on this?
I am.
Her wristbands.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Were bulletproof.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Anyway, deflecting.
What is the pretentious and snobby game reviewer style? Like, have you ever read a game review and you've been like, "What is this person talking about?"
I don't know, but I'm gonna go for it. All right. So, Cyberpunk came out. And I bought it day one, of course. And I bought it for all of my friends. And I somewhat regretted it when it was reviewed poorly. But now that the DLC has come out and fixed everything, I bought the DLC, not sure if you can all spend the extra money for that, but I also bought it for all my friends as well. It's excellent. I also have an incredible rig that is able to run it. Most things won't be able to run it, so you're not going to want to do that. This game's basically just for me.
Okay.
But it is great.
Oh, I feel like that was something like that.
I feel like it was lacking the pretension, though. You need a pretentious game to give a pretentious game review.
Let me try. Okay.
Spore 2.
I'm not sure if you guys will get what Spore was trying to do, really. Like, it seemed to have gone over almost everyone's head except for, you know, me and all other people who have attended Game Reviewers University. It's kind of like a select club. The game is so artsy and good, but the common person could never really get it, unfortunately. Fortunately, you know, because the best things shouldn't be understood by everyone. I don't know.
That was pretty good.
No one's gonna top that. Maybe they need to grasp, or they need to evolve some new graspers in order to grasp the concept.
We should have done the segment together. Okay.
Wow. I know.
God.
I know.
Okay.
I feel like I already did this when I talked about silent protagonists in games 2 weeks ago.
That's 3 weeks in a row, dude. Come on.
Next question from iTom. From any game franchise of your choosing, what was the worst game from that franchise? Mine was Final Fantasy 15 from the Final Fantasy series?
Oof. Hmm. I have an answer that is going to piss off a lot of people. For my brother's birthday, I rented that Xbox. We did get together. We got all our favorite snacks. We beat Halo 3 on Legendary. It took us 9 hours. And at the end of it, I was like, was this a good game? First of all, the story makes no fucking sense. You know, we're going back to destroy an arc that will destroy, that will deploy every Halo ring in the galaxy and destroy all life, but the Flood don't want us to do that. But the Flood just show up on Earth randomly. They're chasing the Ark of the Covenant High Priest, who also wants to deploy the Ark, who we have to kill for some reason, even though we want the same thing. I don't get it. It didn't make any sense. The best part was riding the Warthog at the last level as the map kind of falls out from under you. I think that was the best part. Otherwise, Halo 1 and Halo 2, I think, are way better games, both story-wise and gameplay-wise. Halo 3 also has these weird consumables you unlock. Like, you can deploy, like, a bubble shield and a grav lift. I don't know. It's just too strange. Halo 3, worst of the Halos. That's my opinion.
All right. Halo 3, worst Halo. The worst game of a franchise. That's tough for me. I feel like there's an answer.
Because usually when they're really bad, they don't continue them. You know.
Well, I mean, there's always like a bad one in a franchise, but I don't play a lot of franchises. Like, I've played maybe half the Far Cry games out there, but not all of them. But I could tell you what my favorite one was, but not the worst one. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just haven't played enough franchises.
I'm having a hard time here, too.
That was pretentious.
I'm going to go with Half-Life Blue Shift. There was a time there where Half-Life was just milking their money. Like, they were just making DLCs because it was the exact same game world. I don't even think they were making much more new content. It was just opposing views of the same story. So...
Or opposing shifts, even.
Is that what I was talking about?
Opposing, no, I'm making a joke, dude. So,
gotcha. Yeah. Because I was going to bring that up, too.
Yeah, so Opposing Shift was the second game. So they had the first Half-Life that took place, and everybody loved it. Then Opposing Shift, which was Gearbox's first game, by the way, they made basically the same game, except you played as one of the military grunts that came in to retake the lab that was being taken over by aliens. So you were seeing the same situation, but from a different perspective. And then they came out with a third game, Blue Shift, where you were just a security guard caught in the middle of all this. But they really phoned it in on Blue Shift. The game was like half as long as the other ones, and it wasn't nearly as inventive with like puzzles and combat. Like, it just wasn't that great.
Bobby, was Blue Shift Valve? I feel like it was.
That's a good question. I mean, I'm sure it was published by Valve.
Right.
This is back before, I mean, this is like early days of Half-Life.
It was a straight money grab.
Yeah, back before that was like super commonplace. Developer was Gearbox. Okay, that was Gearbox again.
Oh, gotcha. Already starting with their DLC craziness, dude, from the very beginning, from the inception.
They were standalone games, but yeah.
Even this movie is a DLC, if you think about it, dude. Like, fucking, you're not going to get a whole lot. It costs, whatever.
Mm. I remember in anticipation for Half-Life 2, I replayed all three of those games, getting ready for Half-Life 2.
And?
I mean, back in the day, yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I mean, I was so hyped for... I remember buying like a magazine that had an article about Half-Life 2 in it just to read the article about Half-Life 2.
God, you kids. You kids don't know. you get a Half-Life 2 every month now.
Yeah, you don't even know, man. Nintendo Power.
Dude, Nintendo Power used to have secrets in it. Like, you could only get it in Nintendo Power how to do certain things. It was awesome. Christian, what are we doing now? What part of the show are we?
We got one more listener question.
Okay. I'm drunk.
Last question is from Afro Dragon. If every cast member was a car, what car would they be? Would Christian be a Prius or would Bobby be a base Civic?
Whoa, rude. Wow,
I know, dude.
Reliable.
I know. I mean, and that's probably not far off. I mean, I probably would be something that's like rated number one in safety by JD Power and Associates, right?
Dude, are they paying you for that? That was a good plug. I don't know.
So Christian.
I think I'm a Jeep because that was my vehicle. That was my first vehicle. That's the vehicle I had for the longest time until I.
You don't strike me as a Jeep guy.
Jeeps are fun. You can modify. I mean, they're built for modification. You know, they're built for lift, for going off road. I'm fun. Yeah.
You work from home, dude.
Yeah, that's
true. You don't really cross me as being like super adventurous.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe the Canadian wilderness is a little more brutal than I think. But
He has a bike in his office, dude. He is ready to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm planning a bike trip to the mountains. It's going to be like a 9-hour bike journey. If I come back from that, then you can say I'm a Jeep. If I don't, what's the least reliable vehicle out there? That's what I would be.
Oh. So had I not known you said that you were a Jeep, or you had a Jeep, and that's what you relate to, I would have said something that runs on motivation alone. Like not good design, there's so many people believe in it that it keeps on going.
Oh, like that box car, Kia Soul or something?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
All right, I can handle the Soul. I've been in a couple.
All right, cool. Mm. Bobby would be seeing, I want to say a Tesla, right? Because it's like technical.
Yeah.
Futuristic.
Right.
I don't know. Futuristic. So I had a 350Z, a 2003 350Z, and I really liked that car, but it was just too much trouble at a certain point. And I always liked that one because, as I used to say, it's a lot like me. It was cool 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I should press the two drums and the cymbal on that. Dude, maybe this car still looks cool. Yeah. This car still looks cool. What are you talking about?
I love that car, dude. It's a beautiful car.
Yeah, no, these really are great cars, but in 2003, that was the first year they made them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good looking car. I don't know if it's a great car. I don't know. Maybe it is. Yeah, big dumb truck would be for me. You know, something that can pull things. I'm learning very quickly that my electric truck is not, I think, oh, can I tell you what really grinds my gears?
Sure.
So
grinds your sparks.
1.5 weeks after buying my truck, Ford decides there's too many of these things sitting on too many lots and adds an additional $7,500 off the next step up from my truck, which is my dream truck. So I would have got my dream truck that I was out of my range, no pun intended, for the same price I would have got my truck. I mean, I love my truck. I really do. But the range is really what's fucking haggling me. And a week and a half later, Ford's like, here, have it for $8,000 less.
What is the range?
A minus 220, but the extended range is 310.
Oh, damn. 320. Yeah, that's a lot lower than you have that other electric vehicle that has awesome range, doesn't it?
Have you towed anything?
It's hybrid.
With the truck, with the electric one?
What's that, Bobby?
Have you towed anything with it?
No, but everybody says the same thing. Like, you can't even feel that you're towing anything, but for 50 miles, you know, or whatever it is, apparently it gets. Yeah, it's drastically going to affect. But I also drive the fuck out of it. Like, I drive it like I stole it. Like, it's so fucking fast. It's the fastest vehicle I've ever had. And I've had twin turbo cars, you know? Like,
that's what I call it, a lightning car.
Yeah, it really does deserve that name. It is so zippy.
The question was, what queen car would you be? And I don't think Emilio would be a car.
A big dumb truck is what I said.
Yeah, but I don't think you're like a road. I don't think you're exactly a roadworthy vehicle. I think you are
Oh, like an excavator.
Yeah, like an excavator. Yeah, yeah.
Excavator. Hey, dirt. I see you later. I'm a dirt investigator.
Is this a real song? Yeah.
It's a real song. Yeah. My daughter loves it.
Find it on Spotify. Yeah. But one that's been like modified, like private ownership one, it has like red stripes on the side and it's like, you know, cooler right. than kind of cooler than the rest. Sure. But, you know.
Racing stripes on an excavator. I fucking love it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
That's good. Good stuff. Okay. Next episode, you know, what's everyone playing next week?
I don't know. More Spore and Magic the Gathering. God, no.
Please keep
don't.
Listening to this podcast. Please don't leave us.
No, I'll find something new and fresh. I wonder if there's... this is stupid and random, but I got to get a haircut this week. Are there any, like, haircut simulators or Fumblecore haircut games out
Bro,
there?
I just not, there saw one. Are you prompting the bit? Like knowing that we
no,
know?
No, dude. Did you see one?
Yeah, there's a new game that just came out called Hairstyle Simulator or something like that. I thought someone put it in Discord, actually.
Bobby, I'm going to make a suggestion. I think you should play Dredge. I think you would enjoy it.
Dredge, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty popular at the Game Awards, right?
Yeah.
I think it won something. Yeah, super good reviews.
I think I'm going to play Balatro.
Yeah, I want to play that too, man.
Yeah. It getting even more good reviews than last time we talked. Like more good press, people really enjoying it. Seems like everyone's saying it's a really unique game. It's not what it looks like on the surface, which is just, you know, a card game. Yeah.
Christian, I would ask you for your library access, but I don't want to contaminate my games with your shitty games, so I'm rather just
play. Bro, I have your library. It's so fucking hard to manage, dude. I have like 1,600 games and 1,500 of them are fucking ass. So don't get me started on whose library, okay?
Oh, dude, you guys haven't even seen my library, apparently.
Yeah. It's whatever you just described times three. Speaking for Bobby, Christian.
Whoa.
What do you want me to do now? What's the new thing?
I think we should talk
about hoop. What
jump.
Hoop am I jumping
through? Jump through it. Hey.
Higher.
Go.
Higher.
It's a Patreon plug, you know? I think we have to do it.
Oh, yeah. We need money. You know why? Because we keep giving it to other people. We're going to give $85 to some chump tomorrow.
Made some real bad investments.
Yeah. So we need more money so we could give it to other people. And sometimes those other people are you. So, I mean, really, you're just investing in yourself. Go to patreon.com. I don't know how it works. Go to dlgaming.net, click on Patreon, and you will see all the amazing things, bells, whistles, rainbows, all kinds of stuff. There is a titty tier still, I think, which is amazing. I think you get my phone number if you put that in there. I'm not sure, but you get some pretty cool stuff. Yeah, we need more patrons. Love you all, and mahalo. Oh, also titties.
Oh, shit.
Bye,
I have to hit the outro button. Goodbye.